all the way from Malaysia to share his word with us. Okay, Archbishop is someone that see me grow up. He used to be my vicar, my pastor, the one that baptized me, the one that married me. Back in Malaysia, those were the days. So he's someone that really after God's hearts, and I hope that today, even as he share his word, it will impact, it will speak to you. So without further ado, let's put our hands together and invite Archbishop.
Thank you. I saw Stephen when he was a little boy. Now he's big man. Uncle, really, ah? Uncle. How are you doing? Are you good? Which part good? The brain good? The heart good? The pocket good? Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to open our eyes to see Jesus clearly, our hearts to believe and follow him, our ears to hear him speak to each one of us individually. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to read you a passage that's in Matthew 16, 1-6 Matthew, about the confession of Peter, 16, verse 13 to 30. Peter's confession. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And he said, and they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, God. I will share with you three parts. If my time runs out, if I stop at part two, then you wait, you invite me next time to do the part three. If I only do part one, then I have two more parts to go. Many of us who have not known Jesus or who have known Jesus for some time and are still struggling for various reasons, either struggling in studies or in job and in work or in family or in your own spiritual life, for whatever reasons. And sometimes if we are people looking after church, sometimes we also struggle because the church is not growing or something is really difficult to break through. And we find very hard to see church growth. And we find very hard to see God's blessing coming upon. And we prayed and people say pray and fast. We do the praying, we do fasting, and we read the scripture. We do all sorts of things, and somehow it didn't work out for whatever reasons. And if you can't say that we didn't try, we actually try very hard. And some pastors really try very hard. Some church workers really try very hard. And somehow it's like hitting a wall. Then you ask the question, is God still real? Is God still there? And does God answer my prayers or touch my heart or touch my family or whatever, somehow? So today I'd like to just take on this part. When we come to Matthew 16, that's the middle of Matthew. Matthew, this Gospel of Matthew, the first 15 chapters is talking about Jesus calling his disciples and walking with them, showing them the miracles and all of the things that they have. They walk with Jesus and seen Jesus doing. Now this is when they come to the middle of chapter 16, and in the middle of the gospel, somehow Jesus began to do something drastic and something which he has not done before, according to the first 15 chapters. And first 15 chapters, they knew who he was, something like that, but they dare not ask him, and he has not spoken out that who he himself was. But now 16, he begins to ask them, instead of they ask Jesus, who are you? Who are you really yourself? But now Jesus asked them, who do you think people say I am? Now finally, Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say I am? So that's the time when the final clutch comes in. And even after, you know, the first 15 chapters is like part one. Chapter 16, verse 13 onwards, and when Peter confessed, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, it's like part two. They somehow see Jesus. But still, by the time when we come to the resurrection, even after the death of Jesus, they are still struggling and fear and trembling. They are still not comfortable, and they still fear the authorities is going to catch them, and they lock themselves and hide themselves somewhere. And until the day of Pentecost, somehow they enter into part three, and somehow they begin to be released. And even by that, in the Acts of the Apostles, when Peter and the apostles were caught by the religious leaders, and Peter had to say, no, I rather obey God than obey man. And they knew that it is an impending death. Either they put in jail, or they will be like Jesus, like Stephen, will be stoned to death. And so, why did suddenly there's this change of renewal? Now, today we try to understand a little bit with the little time that we have. Now, I want to go back a little bit to say, I went through the similar thing myself. Coming from a family was not a Christian family. No one in my family was a Christian then until 1975. It's a long way ago. In 1975 that I went to Australia, and after 2 months in Australia, and people there begin to pray for me, and which I didn't know. So I pray, and then they invited me to church, and I love to go to church because they have food to eat and they have girls to see. Those were the days when you were young men. So I love to go, and then they'll talk to other people. When I'm in a new place, and there were no friends, so you need to find some friends somewhere. You know? That's where I began. Then 2 months later, in the month of May, in 1975, I gave myself to Christ. That will be a different part of the story. When you ask me next time to come, I'll tell you that part of the story. Yeah? So I came to Christ, but then, of course, I was the first one in the family to do that. It is not an easy thing. And so I kept myself for a little while. Then until I wanted to get baptized in July, so I wrote home. Those days, there's no WhatsApp, there's no email, there's no all those days were snail mail only. So I wrote back, and then my father, who didn't know how to read and write, so what he do, he record it into the cassette tape and sent over. So I play the cassette tape. Was 2 hours my father was scolding me. You're supposed to study, you know, you're not supposed to believe in Jesus Christ. So 2 hours. I could have kept that cassette tape, you know, and then archive it for my children to see. But I was so sad, so I taped songs over. So nothing left. So then, even though I have believed in Jesus, I went through a little bit of struggle in my own life. It's tough life those days, and I'm not sure when I finished my studies whether my parents will accept me or not. I was really tough, and my mind was still thinking of a lot of things, and I was wondering whether my father would send money to help me to study and complete my study. And those are the fears and things like that. But even that, during that period of a few years, so beginning to know Jesus, read the Bible, and the beginning, first time I read the Bible, I read many times through the whole Bible from beginning to end, and read many times, and I tried to see what is there where I can help my life. And I was very happy in one sense, but then it's like part one of the disciples knowing Jesus, just like part one. I knew this Jesus, I know this Jesus saved my life, and I will have a ticket to go to heaven, something like that, you know. So I didn't look at the expiry date. I don't know whether there's one. So I went in, and then I still find that every time it's still a struggle in my life, and what to commit a little bit more, always a struggle. Until I came to part two, and that part two, I had to make a decision one day that I had to commit my life. It was a real challenge where it was during my third year, my coming to exam time somewhere in August in 1977. Then I went to the library and study, and then I was full of difficulties in my mind. I couldn't get along with my housemate, and I was really infatuated with one girl, and that girl never liked me, and I like her only. So that was a big problem. And thirdly, my exam is coming. I have not really studied. And fourthly, my father has not sent any money for 2 months, 3 months. So I was also worried of all those worries. You know, these worries come to your mind. When you close your eyes, it's there. You open your eyes, it's there. When you walk, it's there. When you sleep, it's there. Everything is there. So I was struggling very hard and asked God. But one thing very good that when I was a young Christian, when I first become Christian, somebody taught me, and I practiced it until today. And so they taught me, it says that, when before you open your book to study or anything, you read or anything, you just, before you start, say a prayer. So I always open the book and say, God, I'm going to read this book. Help me to understand. Show me what you want to show me. So I always say a prayer. And that day, I went to the library and opened up. And I say the same thing, I close. And when this time the prayer went on a little bit longer, because I have this problem, I threw all the problems to God. And after throwing to God, and then somehow I told God one thing. I said, God, I don't care. You know, you better remove all these things. Otherwise, I will not believe you. You know, otherwise, I cannot do any following you, because these are the big problems here. And strange enough, I heard God's voice. And now that's like God's, like Peter, saying to Peter, who do you think I am? And then Peter says, it's like God. Jesus says, this, my Father in heaven told you this. You know, it's like saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's something like that. And I heard a voice that came to me and say, you know, you are not your own. I bought you with a price, with my blood. Two times the same thing came. But somehow it just shaked my life. And it's like the warmth from my feet going up to my head, you know. And it's like a big stone that was pressing on me, and it burst and it break off. And so I was feeling very like, it's just like Peter's experience, something like that, but in a different nature. So I went to that experience, and it's like part two, and excited, you know, part two, excited. And after that, I came back and finished my study. I went back to Malaysia, and I knew that I must go to study, and was an engineer, worked a couple of years as an engineer. Then this call was there to commit my life to God. So I finally gave up and walked to the seminary, and journey on to be the pastor. So I came out, graduated, everything in part two, very good, you know, give my life to God, want to serve Him. Then in the church, worked for 5 years in the church, struggling. Put all the things that I know, everything that I work hard. People have 24 hours, I work 48 hours, still work very hard, but never get anything done. Cannot see any growth. And even the church people couldn't see growth, and I couldn't see growth, and people begin to murmur and wonder. Then I ask myself, God, what's this, man? You know, I must as well go somewhere else and do something else. So again, I pray to God, God, please, you know, what's all this thing going on? Now then, it's like a part three has come. Now I stop at part two end, so whether I finish or not. So you pray, I will able to tell you part three today. So let me stop this story here, and I come back to explain to you a little bit more. When Prophet Samuel, in the Old Testament, God told him, Prophet Samuel, you go to the house of Jesse, King David's father. Jesse. You go to the house of Jesse, and I want you to anoint one of his sons, and he's going to be the king of Israel. Because I'm not happy with King Saul, and God has removed his spirit away from King Saul. So King Saul did badly. So he want Prophet Samuel to go to Jesse's home. So he told Jesse, I'm coming. Wow, everybody, how come the prophet is coming to my house? So they're all very excited. Of course, you know, you great guy coming. They clean up the house, do up everything, put the food nicely. So when Prophet Samuel came, you know, he says, yes, prophet, what do you want to do here? He says that God had told me to come and anoint one of your sons to be the king of Israel. Wow, that's a great thing. So then he said, can you call your sons? So David called all the sons ready, standing in front of him. And he saw the first one, you come, the first one come. And Prophet Samuel looked at the first son. Wow, great guy. Tall, dark, and handsome, you know, and can play piano, can play guitar, can play drum. Wow, so many things. Wow, so great, man. Oh, he have all the skills and good oratory skills and good leadership skills. Everything good. So Samuel thought to himself, this must be the guy that God has appointed. God told him, not him. And Prophet Samuel probably will struggle. God, hey, how can God? This good guy, man, look at him. He scored A's in everything. A's, no. Oh, God said, no, don't look at his outside. Look at his heart. I see the heart. I don't see the outside skill. And, okay, Prophet Samuel said, all right, God, you win. Okay, second son, look at him. Okay, not bad. The first son get 10 A's. Second son get 8 A's. Not bad, okay. I think he must be the guy. God said, no. He went to the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one, the sixth one, the seventh. Went to all the sons. Hey, God, you make a mistake. All the sons are here, seven of them, and all of them did well. And how come none of them? God said, no, not one of them. And then God, then Prophet Samuel asked JC, do you have any more sons? Yeah, we have one more, the naughty fella, the small little rascal. I sent him out to look after the sheep. So he went. So call him. So no, that guy, no, I think you make mistake. You don't want him. No, Prophet Samuel said, call. So he came. So obviously, he is looking after the sheep. Then the brothers may have to go, okay, call a few brothers. You go and look after the sheep and call him back. So I'm sure when the brothers all went and see him, hey, daddy say want to call you back. Come, you David, go. Somebody want to see you. We all no chance. You no chance, lah. You know, you didn't even score A. You know, at least we all did A, ma, huh? So in the end, he came back, and immediately Prophet Samuel saw this is the guy. What did he see? Small little guy, not tall, not dark, not handsome, not able to play all these instruments, and only know how to play stones. You know, those days when I was young, we play stones, you know, the five stones. No, we call the five stones, something like that. No, he only know how to play stones. But then God appointed him. That day, he was anointed. So God saw the heart, not the skill. Today, the same thing. God is looking out for heart. Your heart. We can do so many things outside, great things. But none of them God is looking at as a priority, at the heart. Now, Jesus say the same thing to Peter and to the disciples. Part one, God called all the disciples, the 12 of them, handpicked. All of them. Some have skills, some have no skills, but handpicked. And if you are going to be the bishop of the church, would you want to ordain all these apostles? You probably will say, why, you give me a big headache. You know, James and John, they are terrible guys, you know, and the Samaritan didn't want to take them into the village. They pray, God, fire, come down, burn them. So if they look after the church, you know, the people don't listen. Oh, the PCC don't listen, burn them. Oh, yeah. The leaders don't listen, burn them. And now, of course, you have Judas, he's a financial scandal. And you have Peter, who who did renounce Jesus 3 times, you know, at the most crucial time, you know, and he said, no, I don't know him, I don't know him. You look at all these disciples, and one guy came from the gangsters group, from the zealots group. And so all these people, you will not want. But Jesus didn't look at the outside. Jesus saw the inside. That's the heart. Whoever you are, how good you are, how not good you are, Jesus looked at your heart. So the heart was the first thing they looked at. So when Jesus saw the heart and so picked them and want them to walk with them and allow them to see part one, see Jesus. See, we all saw Jesus outside. If Jesus is far away, we saw him. He saw him do the miracles, doing feeding the 5,000, walk on the water. He just saw him do so many things, raise the dead. He saw Jesus doing all these things. But there's a lot of Christians and stop there. We haven't even entered into part two. Some Christians have gone into part two. Part one is like that. But it's too much word to say, very difficult. But I want to say, tell you, part one is like that. When I became a bishop in 2007, now 10 years, I think the people suddenly, accidentally voted me. So I think I became a bishop suddenly, 2007. So when I have to leave Ipoh, I stay in Kuala Lumpur. When I stay in Kuala Lumpur, the bishop house was not ready. So we rented a place. When we rented a place, I rent a place, a house, and it's a terrace house, the corner of the terrace house, so there's a little bit of garden. And in the garden, there is a mango tree. And my landlord told me very clearly, Bishop, we'll rent this house to you cheaply, but on one condition, you look after my mango tree. I said, what's so great about mango tree? There are lots of them everywhere. No, he said, look after them. It's very nice. So sure enough, 2 months later, the mango began to bear fruit, and I tasted the mango. Beautiful, so nice. Better than the Indian mango, the Indonesian mango, the Thai mango, the Cambodian mango. Better than any one of them. So nice. But the whole tree full of mangoes. So finally, I couldn't finish all. Every day I eat, but couldn't finish. So I give my neighbors. I gave to my other pastors. So they all dead again. Everybody came back and said, beautiful, very nice mango. Where do you get it? I said, it's from my tree. Wow, very good. You know. So, but he told me that you need to look after the tree. So he told me how to look after the tree. But after the service, you want to know how to look after the mango tree, you come and see me. Eh? Take me for lunch, I tell you how. So, hello. Then the following year, I got busier, so I didn't look after the tree. So there were some mangoes, and begin to have some worms. The insect attack it. We gonna have some worms. So I able to manage half of them, salvage half of them, and the other half was already too late, and the worms have gone into it. The insects have gone to it. So I able to eat some, and then give a few to away. Then the third year came, it is all infested with worms because I didn't follow the instruction how to look after tree. And, you know, the worms get more and more. And even the green one, when it was green, the worms already got in. So I tried to take the green one and the cut, really worms got in. So I gave up, you know. And the fourth year, I did not even touch it because it's all full of worms. So the neighbors and the pastors keep asking, do you have any more mangoes? Any more? I said, no more. Sorry, I'm very shy. The mangoes are all worms. I did not give anybody, and I couldn't eat anything at all. So part one says, the question asks, what is the fruit of a mango tree? And obviously people will answer, mangoes. That's part one. The fruit of the mango trees are mangoes. We are all like part one because we only can see mangoes on the mango trees. We only can see. When we come to part two, and I want to say, if we come to part two, if I ask you the same question, what's the fruit of a mango tree? And we will say mangoes is wrong. And part two means the fruit of the mango trees is another mango tree. Did you see it? You didn't see. I, at that time, didn't see. So because part one, we are a consumer. So when we became Christian, we are a consumer Christian. We only know how to receive blessing from God. We only ask God to bless us. Bless everything. God bless. Everything God bless. There was one church member from Ipoh, and after the Form 5 in Ipoh, you know, the Form 5 exam, SPM exam, very important. You know, after the exam, the mother sent us, took the child, you know, son, how do you do the exam? The son cried and said, Mom, I did badly. I answered wrongly. Then, you sure or not? I checked with my friends. I definitely answered wrongly. I died this time. So what you do, Mom? Mom said, never mind. I take you to the pastor. That's me, lah. Huh? To your pastor. Somehow they thought pastor is like Jesus can do magic, you know. So come a pastor. So he came here straight away. Pastor, pastor, I want to come see you. Okay, okay. You know, what happened? My son did badly. You pray for him. I said, sure, sure, sure. You know, he got other papers to do. Yes, yes, yes. So I say, okay, come, come, come. Come to the office and I pray. I pray for the son so that he will calm down, cool down. Then he will take his, you know, not the rest of the paper well, at least, you know, so that he will take away the mind from this mistake that he have done. And so God gave him comfort. Then the mother said, hey, pastor, finish it. Yeah. I said, finish praying. No, no, not enough, not enough. I said, what do you mean not enough? You pray some more. I said, pray a lot already. What some more you pray? He said, you pray then when the examiner mark the time, the wrong one mark right. Wrong one mark right. We are consumers, God. We are consumers, Christian. When we only believe our God is going to give us only, and even though we cannot give us, we somehow twist our way and ask God, God bless this, God bless this, God bless this. Oh, we are consumers. No wonder we saw the mango tree, the fruit of the mango tree is only mangoes, because all my neighbors only know how to eat mangoes, and all my pastors only know how to eat mango. But did you see that in every mango, the seed is a potential of another tree? Nobody saw it, and they just ate and threw the seed away. And we do Christianity the same way. We are consumers, Christians. We only know how to eat and all to receive all the blessing of God, but we never know how to grow. That's part two. The disciples of Jesus saw Jesus do all the miracles, and they hope, possibly, that Jesus would not need to live 3 years. Probably Jesus would live 60 years, so he can bless many people, cast out many demons, many people get healed, and many dead raised. They will be so nice. But they are all consumer Christians. We all are consumer Christians in that sense. We can only see the mangoes in the mango tree. We never see another mango tree in that tree. So then, when Jesus came to Matthew 16, he asked them, who do people say I am? And who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, blessed are you. Not flesh and blood revealed to you, but my Father in heaven revealed to you. And after that, he says, Peter, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, it will be loose in heaven. I wonder how many of you are called Peter today here. Blessed are you who are called Peter. God chose you. But actually, all of us are Peter in many sense. We are actually Peter because he says to us, not only do you are called Peter, are Peter. He says, on this rock, you're going to build the church, and the gate of hell, Hades, will not prevail against it. And all of us are given the keys of the kingdom. Then he said, how come? Only give to Peter keys. No. All of us have keys to the kingdom. Because in the Lord's Prayer we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. God says the will of God is in your hand. If you're buying it on earth, it will be bound in heaven. You lose it on earth, you'll be loose in heaven. But God's will have been kept in our wardrobe or in our pocket or kept it somewhere else, locked, secured, and God's will cannot work on because we never bound and never lose. We just lock God's will up. Because we are consumers. We lock all the things. We threw the seed away. We never grow another tree. Part two, say that if you see the fruit of the mango tree is another mango tree, you will plant that mango tree. If any one of my, my neighbors, I gave them 10 mangoes, if they just plant one, even my tree has rotten and my tree will be chopped off, I still have one more tree. But we didn't plant them. We didn't know how to plant. We didn't know how to plant. Now, part three comes this way. But if part one says, the fruit of mango trees, many people saw mangoes. That's consumers. Part two says, the fruit of mango trees, we saw another mango tree. But part three saw, did you see? The fruit of the one mango tree is a plantation of mango trees. You just imagine, one harvest of mango trees, and there are hundreds of mangoes, there will be a plantation immediately. Did we see that? The disciples didn't see it. Disciples saw Jesus was a consumer God at that time. Later on, when Jesus revealed himself, he says, I'm going to go to the cross, I'm going to go to be delivered to the hands of the elders. And they say, no, Peter say, no, Jesus cannot go. Lord, you cannot go. Because they don't want him to die. They want him to be a blesser, a blesser. Sometimes we are so used to it, we have not gone. Part three actually says, did you see a plantation of mango trees? If we reserve all the mangoes and plant them, even half didn't grow, we still have half. Every year, they got plenty. So my life changed. After some years of ministry, I find it very hard, struggle. And at that time, my church was 100 people. And after 5 years, still 100 people. And I baptized many people, still 100 people, because somehow the front door go and back door also go and open. And the people still leave. And I ask God, what happened? Why is all these things? God showed me one revelation. I use this revelation, use offering as the revelation. So let me use this offering as example. If you, just for easy calculation, if you earn $1,000 a month, easy calculation, $1,000 a month, then you give 10%, $100. So you left behind $900. And you find that the 900 that you have for 1 month is not enough. So you obviously won't spend to give something else. You know, you try to live with it. So now when you begin to grow to 2,000 a month, 2,000 a month, then you give 200, 10%, 200 away. So you got 1,008 left. And then 1,008, you say, maybe I need only 1,005 to be okay in all the expenses that I have, 1,005. So we have 300 extra. What are you going to do with the 300? Then maybe go to 3,000 that year. Let's say that, well, now I earn 3,000. I give 300 to God. So I have 2,007 left. But I still need only you use 1,005. Maybe change. In Malaysia, you have a kanju, you change your Myvi, you know, the small car to the bigger car. So maybe now you need 2,000 instead of 1,005. You use 2,000, well, how much left we have? 700. What are we going to do with the 700? I tell you what we do. We will go China a couple of times. We will go Bangkok a couple of times. Go Australia a couple of times. We will go Israel a couple of times. We go Europe a couple of times. So now I have 5,000. I give 10%, 500 away. So I got 4,005. Let's say now I get my house or something like that. I don't need 2,000. I maybe need 3,000. I need 3,000, but I got 1,500 left. What are you going to do with it? That's part three. Part one is thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Praise the Lord. I got blessing. God give me extra. Part two, he say, okay, Lord, I know you are the God. So when there's a need, okay, I give a little bit. I give. Oh, there's a need. Okay, somebody come and do some fundraising. Give another 100 here, 550 here. So, but now, when they come to part three, God is actually saying, did you see a plantation? When you see a plantation, what do? You see a mango tree, you saw the plantation. What do? Jesus, in chapter 13 of his parable of the kingdom of heaven, says this. A man who has a lot of pearls and walk around, one day he found a piece of land, got a pearl of great value. What did he do? He goes back and sold everything that he have and buy that one piece of land with the pearl of great value. And I always struggle to myself. I say, those days, I say, God, this is not a wise move, you know. You put all the things into one basket, all the eggs into one basket, not good, you know. What happened if it collapsed? We keep thinking of collapse. But the guy, he have a lot of pearls, small pearls, but he found that he need to sell all that pearls away in order to buy one piece of land, because he saw that is a plantation. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, did we see that plantation? God saw the heart. The plantation comes from the heart, not from the outside. If we see from the outside, we are the benefactor. We just receive. Not beneficial. We are beneficiary. We just receive all the gifts of God. Then when we come to part two, we share a little bit. But now God is saying, if you want your church to grow, if you want your family to be effective, if you want your ministry to be effective, and you want your life to be effective, you must enter into part three. You must see a plantation. And you must commit yourself into that plantation. You know how many times have we become Christians, we have not read the whole Bible? We wanted to read the whole Bible. In the year 2000, I did a church program to read the Bible. And I knew to ask them to read the Bible, very few people will read. So I said, if you read 5 books, I will give you a gift. If you read the whole Bible, 66 books, you get 14 gifts. Wow, everybody excited. You know, I put the gifts and show them gift. Wow, excited, 14 gifts. You know, 2000, the year 2000. Everybody start. I give them a sheet of paper and say, if you read one book, you tick. If you read one book, you tick, so you know where you have read. You know, then one person asks, Pastor, when we finish reading the book, do you need to test us? I said, no need. So easy, no need to test. I can simply think. I said, easy, yeah, you can simply think. Anyway, you show me, you have tick, then you can get a gift. So easy, yeah, but I put the gift on the altar. You go and take yourself. I put it on the altar, then you take yourself. So you get, oh, okay, you could take. But I want to tell you, after 1 year, I got 3 people who finished reading. After 2 years, I got another 3 more finished. After 3 years, I got only 10 people finished reading. Then I asked, what happened? Did you all start to read? No? Yeah, I said, you all started. And somebody was shouting at the back, say, Pastor, we started very well in Genesis, you know. But when we come to Exodus, we found the Red Sea, but nobody opened the Red Sea for us. So we cannot cross. And someone say, we crossed the Red Sea, but we are in the wilderness, we died there already. You know that is because we are beneficiaries. We only receive blessings all the time. You need to move on. And God saw the heart, and it is the heart. The heart must decide to recognize He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But that Son of the living God, as you move from knowing Him, a God from far away, you must know this Jesus, God the Father is far away. He saved you and he gave you all those things. Now God the Son, he is Jesus Christ, and he is the one who will walk with you. But when you come to part three, you need to recognize not only Jesus Christ, you need to see the Spirit of God must come into your life. You must feel him. You must journey with him. When you journey with him, I tell you, you have the potential is so great that nothing can stop you. And you will just move on. So I end by saying a little bit here about HTBB. If you recognize HTBB, we started in 2014. This September 2017 will be 3 years. 3 years old. So in the year 2011, we were already working on it, praying, working on it, looking for a place and thinking of what way to do. Because my heart is always wanted to reach out to young adults and especially for people who have gone to university and become Christ and then have no place to go and cannot fit into all the traditional services. So I tried many times, but it didn't work out. So finally, now I became bishop, has a little bit of say lah, a little bit say. So I say, okay, let's start something, start anew. So in 2014, September, we launched it. At that time, probably 30-something people, we launched it. Of course, the first day, we rarely everybody go, it's 150, 200 people there. But then there were real people, were 30-something people there, starting. But we praise the Lord, we use the Alpha system, we do the Alpha thing, and every year we do two Alpha courses, it goes on, back-to-back, or three Alpha courses, do back-to-back. And I saw this young lady, you know, come from KL, you know, the beautiful picture. And I say, hey, you must put one of your people in this 11:30 faces there, lah. Put, you know, Harley, maybe your face go there, you know. you know, put some of the beautiful face there. So we want to localize that. So finally, we end up there, and we started. And the first baptism we do at the end of the year was 114 people. And since then, we keep journeying. And it's something like that. But I say the whole thing is not the style, not the methodology, not the things. It's whether your heart is right there. Really have seen, did you see a plantation? You see a plantation, you work. And we told the people, whoever visit the church second time, we will get them to do work already. Second time, cannot sit down, must do some work. Either you serve the food or you go and welcome people, stand at the doorway, shake the people's hand, you know, some. Second time you give a tag already. Third time already, you don't give tag, the guy will lose somewhere else already because he will not attend to. Yeah. So we want them to do. So now by September this year, it was our third anniversary, and we were moving to the bigger space. Now it's about 700 to 800 people space, bigger space. The regular now attendance is now nearly 1,000 every Sunday now. so we have three services. We start at 11:30. Then we overwhelmed. Then we go to 9:30. Then still overwhelmed. So second one is 5 o'clock. And then third one is 9:30. And now we are going to move everything into it. And we hope that by September, we are starting another Chinese arm in there, that thing. But I want to say, it is not the methodology. It is not Alpha. Yes, these are good tools, very good. But it is the heart. God saw the heart. Did you see a plantation? If we see only mangoes, we will be part one. We wait for blessing. We will see one mango tree. When we were still quite good, we see one mango tree, then we will do it only when we are asked to. When we see a plantation, you will go out and buy lands. You will go and scout for people. And at the end, I close by saying, that's where the story of the steward, you know, why? Because at the last hour, the plantation, the vineyard is still a lot of fruits to be harvested and no people worker. By that time, we need more worker. Even though the guy has only 1 hour to work, come, all come in, we'll bring in because it was the heart. So my dear brothers and sisters, I just want to say, all these things are not new. It's just now we have to move from stage one to stage two. If we are in stage one, then we move to stage two. If we are in stage two, we need to move to stage three. Stage three is asking our heart, what do we see in Jesus? How do we see it? Do you see yourself as a part of it? Did you see that the keys of heaven is in your hand? If you bind it, it will be bound in heaven. If you lose it, it will be loosened in heaven. Do you see that in your hand there is a plantation? Did you go for it? Or you only saw one tree? Or you only saw the fruit? Let's pray. Maybe we ask the musician to get ready in the song. And we pray. Ask God. Be quiet for a while. Bow our head and pray. What are you going to do after giving 10% to God and you have still some left over? You're going to invest it into a plantation? Or you're going to invest it into just traveling and tours? Or enlarge your house, change a new car. It is in your hand. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you lose on earth will be loose in heaven. That's the will of God, be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we give thanks and ask for your grace to be with us. Open our hearts to see you, not only our eyes. That our heart will follow and model after you. But our heart will go for you. And we believe that if we do, that your heart is with you, that there's nothing in this world that can oppose it. There can nothing. They will block it because we believe in you. And we want to walk with you. And we want to run with you. And we will not only see mangoes, but we will not only see one tree, but we will see a plantation. Every one of us has the potential because every one of us has a heart. And our heart needs to come to you. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that we will not be so saturated our eyes and our minds and our doings in the things around, but in the heart. If our heart is there with you, even though outwardly people didn't see it, just like when they saw David was a rascal boy, but God saw him. Because of him, God promised him that his generations and his children and his descendants shall be kings. But that last 20 generations, unfortunately, all the children of David, the descendants didn't do well. Their heart was not there. But because God promised David, the generations were protected, were carried on for 20 generations until 450 years in the same dynasty. Lord, we pray, we ask you that let our heart, one heart, that we will be right with you and we will walk with you, we will follow you and we will see that plantation and believe you until that point. That you say, because of our heart, because of our belief, because of our connection with you, because of our love for you, we will carry on. Carry on. And you will watch over our children, watch over our children's children, watch over our children's children's children, and go on. Because we are one person right with you. Yes, we fall. Yes, we make mistakes. But we come humbly to you and ask for forgiveness. And you come with us. Thank you, Lord. Today I commend my brothers and sisters to you and seek you, Lord, that you speak to each of their heart. We will have to move from stage 1 to stage 2. And from stage 2, go on to stage 3. Lord, help us, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. When Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" He asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" He's not asked Peter, "What can you do?" But, "Do you love me? Do I have your heart? Do I have your heart, Peter?" Church, do I have your heart? God saying, thank you, Lord Jesus. For here, those when we close our eyes, I want to give you a response. If you believe that God has spoken to you today, and you believe that this is something that is so crucial in your life and that you need that, and I would say, well, I would invite you to stand to commit your life to God once more, and I'll pray for you. After the service, if you want to have ministry prayer, yes, I will stay around for a while and pray for you. But now, on this occasion, no, if I just, due to time, I will just count 1, 2, 3. If up to the 3, when I count, if you believe that God's word is really residing in you and speaking to you and touching your life, and believe that it is the way forward, and you want to commit to it, you want to respond. Don't respond because I call you. Don't respond because of your neighbors. Don't respond for someone to see, but respond because God has spoken to you. Are you ready? I will just count to 3. You stand. I pray, and then we will sing that commitment song. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Stand where you are. Don't look around. Pray for yourself. And let me pray for you as well. Hallelujah. Just stand where you are. If you wish to, don't stand because I call you to. Stand because you believe that you want to give yourself another chance to God to work in your life, to bind what is in heaven and bind loose what is on earth, and it is also in heaven. Let's pray. Father Almighty, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your power. And thank you for your grace. Thank you. Bless my brother and sister. Bless them. Lord, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Be with us. We ask and pray all this mighty name that we will be following you and going after your heart. And we will say, when Jesus said, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." You say, "Feed my sheep." "Yes, Lord." "Do you love me?" I say, "Yes, Lord." "Tend my sheep." "Yes, Lord." "Do you love me?" "Feed my lambs." "Yes, Lord." "Yes, Lord." Commit ourselves to you. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Please stand. We'll sing that song.